I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves her Sequoia strawberry 24.3% when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, tons of tattered bumpers, splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with the Mafia tonight. And the Ravens lead in the dog pound, 21-14 at the half, as Lamar Jackson runs one in right before halftime from like 10 yards out, whatever, and scores untouched to give the Ravens the 7-point lead. And obviously, pretty good game. It was 14-7 Baltimore, and then a touchdown by the Browns, and Chubb tied it up at 14s. And that was on a 7-play, 75-yard drive that took around 3.5 minutes. Chubb up the middle for 14 yards and the TD, but then you get the quick drive right before the half, a bomb to the tight end, sets up the ball inside the red zone, and Jackson scrambles up the middle for 17 yards and the TD. And you get a defensive holding decline, Tucker the extra point, good, 21-14. Ravens, they were laying 3 in this one. And they lead it by 7 at the half. In terms of NBA preseason rack, we're going to talk to Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio on Sirius coming up here this hour. And the Mavs lead the Bucks with under 10 to go by 10. And the Grizzlies blowing out the T-Wolves with 7.5 left, 107-87. Suns and Jazz, I'm watching this one. Tie game, 41s, 2 minutes left in the half. Good game going on in Salt Lake Shakers. Pelicans, I watched them beat the Heat tonight, 114-92. They were in total control. Ingram was lighting it up. Everyone was lighting it up. You name it. Zion doing his thing. And they get it done in Miami over the Heat, who went to the NBA Finals, open up their campaign tonight, preseason-wise, with an L. Cavs by 10 over the Pacers in Cleveland. And the Raptors beat the Hornets in Charlotte, 112-109. I kind of want to look at that to see in terms of what the kid did, if he got in and played, in terms of any dimes that he might have had. He had 2 assists in the game, so he didn't really do anything. But he did have 12, LaMelo. So we welcome in all of our radio affiliates, top to bottom, east to west. We're everywhere. It's good to have you with us on Sports Grid Radio. Don't forget, we're on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. And coming January 7th, we start Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius XM channel 204. So I was interested. I watched the kid play in his first game, and Ball was not scoring at all, but he was dishing like nobody's business. The guy had some just extreme, like Magic Johnson, beautiful dimes. No look passes left and right, full court, dime passes, touchdown passes. For a basketball player, he's got great vision, and he just creates buckets. I mean, you got a guy that can pass like that and make plays, you're going to get the ball in the hole. That's all there is to it. So tonight he wanted to show that he could score, and he had 12. He wasn't great. 3 of 10. He hit 2 threes and had 3 boards, 2 dimes. And, you know, but I got to tell you, watching him that first game, just dropping dimes left and right, I was impressed. Hayward had 14 tonight and Rozier 15. People probably didn't even remember he played in Charlotte after playing in Boston. So Hayward obviously didn't want to play in Boston anymore because he didn't want to be the fourth wheel. That's all there is to that. As far as that Pelicans game, Zion had 26 and 11 boards, the double-double, getting involved, 8 of 13 from the floor. He gets all of his buckets down low and in the paint. He averaged 17 in the paint last year to lead the league. Like, his points, 17 per from the paint. I have to say, it really is unbelievable looking at his body. He looks so fat to me. Like, you know, I know he's big. I know he's big boned. I know he's a monster. I know he's got mad game. I know he's got speed. He attacks the rim violently like a bull in a china shop. But he just looks fat to me. Speaking of fat, I think Doncic looks fat as well. And I was watching Spida. He's got a keister on him, too, in the offseason. It must have come with that fat new deal he got. Take a look. He's on NBA TV right now. He looks twice as big as he did last season. But he's still got mad game. I don't care what they eat as long as they fill it up. But Zion looks fat to me. But I'll take a double-double and 26 every night of the week.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So now it's 28-14 Baltimore. Jackson had a 44-yard run. He is just absolutely beating Cleveland by himself. And then Edwards up the middle for 19 yards. He broke a tackle and then made it to the left, cut outside into the corner of the end zone for the touchdown. I think he's got two touchdowns in this game. And now it's a two-touchdown lead for Baltimore, and it's unbelievable to me because, I mean, Cleveland's 9-3, Baltimore's 7-5. They'd lost 4 of 5, then they beat Dallas, and everybody thought they were world beaters. And we all know their, you know, their whole plan of action is, you know, run it some more, and then run it some more after that. And then barely let him throw the ball. And then Jackson, you'd think that Cleveland would, you know, zone in on that, that they would, you know, that would be the key. Stop the run, and then you win the game. Because I don't think he can throw the ball. And he hasn't had to throw the ball tonight because they're running it right down their throat. To come out in the first possession of the second half and go right down the field in like 3 or 4 plays and then score again to go up 2 touchdowns. I mean, I know there's tons of time left in this game, but at some point you just have to say, what are you doing? What's happening here? You're just getting embarrassed at home, and that's just all there is to it. I mean, they're down 2 touchdowns now. I mean, it's pretty simple. If Baltimore scores again, the game's over. I mean, it might be over already. And now you're going to force Cleveland to get out of their game, which is, you know, they like to pound the rock, and they're still running it, but they're not getting a single yard when they run it. Baltimore has done exactly what Cleveland needed to do in this game, which is shut down the run. Now, I know Chubb had the 14-yard TD run to tie the game, but, I mean, first of all, I thought that the Browns' possession before the end of the half, when they got the ball with about a minute 50 left, and they effed around with it, and then on third down, Baker Mayfield got busted for intentional grounding, which I don't think it was because he had been hit, and he had been hit in the hand on top of that, and he did have Chubb out in the flat. Everybody was a little perplexed at how they called it, but they did nevertheless, and it doesn't matter because they had to punt the ball back. Then the punter kicked it like 30 yards, literally, I mean, from his own end all the way to like the 45 of Baltimore. It was a terrible punt. It bounced backwards toward the Cleveland end zone. And they got the ball, and they moved. He threw one pass to the tight end deep, and that was it. They were in business. So what was a tie game? What was a good game? What was a close game? What was a game that had everything that they both want to do? They both want to run it. They both were effective at running it. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, and it's a two-touchdown game. And it's because of Lamar Jackson. He had the you know, the run right before the half for a touchdown from in the red zone. And then he just had another 44-yard run to set up Edwards, 19-yard run for another touchdown. And now you're seeing the Browns down 2 scores, and they're going to have to start throwing the ball. And that's just it. They'll keep telling themselves they want to run the ball with Chubb, and they want to, you know, on first down and gain 1 or 2 yards. And then it's second and 8 and 3rd and, you know, 8 or 3rd and 6, because, you know, he'll dink it and dunk it all night long to try to get the ball downfield and get first downs. He just threw one into the line. Boom, it's already 2nd and 10. There's tons of time. So they can actually, if they could score a touchdown, can get back into this game and get down 1 score. But they have to score. And they cannot have, in my opinion, possessions where he just hit Njoku on a great play at the sideline for a first down. They can't afford to not score. They have to move the ball down the field, this possession, and get in the end zone. In my opinion, they cannot just keep, failing at when they have the ball in terms of possessions. They can't punt. They can't three and out. They have to have drives and scores. Like, they need to score now worse than ever based on being down two touchdowns, obviously. And they can't mess around. This is, the turning point, a crucial part of the game. You go down two, and then you don't score, and you have to give up the ball again. I'm telling you, one more score from Baltimore, this game's over. It's, like I said, it's already looking over to me. But anything can happen in the pain day. You can, 1 minute you're down two touchdowns, the next you're up two touchdowns. It's crazy, right? Like, they'll be down two scores in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden, they'll, it'll be a first and goal from the five with, 10 seconds left in the game, and they're down a score, and they'll, these games always end crazy. They just always, there's always some wild, inexplicable ending to these games. 1 minute you're getting your ass beat, the next minute you're winning. Craziness ensues, it seems like, in every game. But so I thought that they would be ready tonight at home. I really did. I the Browns have been playing great football lately. I don't think you get to 9-3 because you suck. So it's amazing to me that the last game they played, when they put all those points on the Titans and they had four touchdowns from Baker Mayfield in the first half, and they ended up winning that game 41-35 or whatever. But I just thought that, I really did. And now they get the strike down to about the 1 yard line on a beautiful pass from Mayfield. So they're in business. This is what they need. They need to score right now. Boom. No questions asked. So he just threw a beautiful pass down the sideline. And they're in business. So now we got first and goal. So Hunt caught it, and they're at the Baltimore 5 or something like that. 26-yard play, nice little floater down the left sideline. So first and goal, here they are. I just told you they'd be first and goal from the 5, but at the end of the game. But this is early in the third, down two touchdowns. So this is going to be huge. Oh, God. He's throwing it out of the end zone. Like, this Ravens defense all of a sudden has showed up tonight, making plays, big hits. I've seen him already have big hits in this game and jar the ball loose from the Browns. But we'll see if they can get it in the end zone. I mean, it's imperative. They cannot walk out of this, even in my opinion, with a field goal. It's just, it's got to be a touchdown. You can't just come in here and get three on this drive after you gave up that easy score to Baltimore. It was a one touchdown game at the half, and you could have come out, tied a game, get back into it, and make this a great game. Instead, you give up that score early. I mean, you're in trouble. Now, there they are. They're in the end zone. So they ran it in. They're in business. That was Hunt. So Hunt made the catch. Hunt made the score. He did both. Kareem Hunt, 5-yard TD run. So they were in dire straits, and Hunt comes up big with the catch down the sideline. Great hands. And now you get the run from Hunt, a little drag run. He just held up, waited for the hole to pop open, and then he just blazed through it and just ran into people at the goal line and just powered through with his legs. No room for error. They can't miss extra points. They can't screw this up. They got to get down 7, and then they got to go stop Jackson. It's amazing to me how much time and room they give him in the pocket. Every time he drops back, this guy could like make waffles back there. I mean, he could literally cook breakfast for the army and they'd all be served and he'd still be in the backfield free of anyone touching him. They got to collapse on that pocket and get this guy down. It's amazing how he just does whatever he wants in the pocket and breaks free and then runs for touchdowns and everything else. He's killing him by himself. Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio coming up.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast,
I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's simple, really. Sports Grid, good. Everything else, bad. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Cody Parker shanked it wide right, the extra point. It's an 8-point game now. Did I not just say they can't afford to miss the extra point because they've been down 14? You get down, you want to be down 7, make it a 1-score game, and this guy comes in and shankopotamus. He goes wide right. Nice job. Have you ever seen anything like how bad these kickers are in the NFL? I mean, it's disgusting. That guy Bailey for the Vikings, someone please explain to me how that guy's got a job today after 2 weeks in a row. He's missed like 15. Field goals. This guy's absolutely got a yips. The worst I've ever seen. He's still got a job. That's unbelievable. I would have never let him even get on the team plane going back from Tampa for fear the plane would go down with the bad luck that guy's sporting on him right now. He's got the Black Cloud Diner rocking, Moff. Anyway, Mitch Lawrence is our buddy from NBA Radio on Sirius XM. And we've told you we're excited that January 7th, Sports Grid Radio Network is taking over channel 204 on Sirius XM. So we're stoked for that. Now Mitch will be on all the time. And hell, you never know. Maybe we'll be right down the hall from Mitch. Maybe we'll go over there. I'll dunk on Mitch. I might have to dunk on him, Mitch.
No, you ain't dunking on. You're not going to dunk on me. How you doing?
I may have to posterize you. Mitch, what's up, brother?
No, man. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Flagrant 2 on me. I'm doing good. Happy holidays. Just had a laugh today about all the Kyrie Irving nonsense, calling himself an artist. But also, forget about the breaking of the media boycott, Scott. Here's a guy who finally, you know, figured out, or somebody told him, you know what? You got to basically go back on what you said about Steve Nash a few weeks ago. That's when he said, you know, I don't really see us needing a head coach. Maybe Kevin Durant will be the head coach. Maybe I'll be the head coach. We don't need a guy to come in here with his coaching philosophy and change everything we're doing before they ever play the game. And so today he said, now all of a sudden a Steve Nash love fest. So I was just wondering, do you think on December 14th, he woke up and he said, you know what, I'm not just going to break my media boycott, I'm also going to sing the praises of Steve Nash. I don't know if Kyrie Irving works that way or not.
Yeah, actually, I've been talking a lot about him on the shows, on TV and on radio. And let me just tell you in short what I think of him. I think the guy's, without a doubt, an incredible player. I mean, there's no getting around his game. Like, he is pure. That's that. When he plays. Like, so if you're going to play in 30% of the games in your career, because you're always out missing giant chunks of time, you're never healthy, I got a problem with that. But when he plays, no one can stop him. I won't deny that. So I would never second guess his dribble drive, his step back, his spacing, his ability to get a clean 2-foot window to shoot over anyone that guards him in the NBA is second to none. But my problem with him is off the court. I think he's just a massive idiot. I think he's a D. Mm. I think he treats people, the media, like crap. Calling him pawns is immature.
Yep.
I'm better than you.
He's
I'm
arrogant.
Above you. And then they fine him 25 large. And I said on the air, if they fine him, they should fine him 25 large every single day until he learns his lesson. I go, let's see how long he can handle $25,000 a day. Now, some people say he makes $100 million, no problem. No one on earth wants a speeding ticket every day of their life. Eventually, you're going to snap.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long for him to do the, backtrack on that. He started doing interviews today, and then he ate what he said about Nash. I think the guy is a prima donna. I think he's another one of these guys that goes to Duke that thinks he's better than everybody. He's been spoon-fed, yes, his entire life. It's written all over him. And no one's ever just told him, you know what, dude, you're a hunk. Somebody needs to just, I think some veterans, even though he's a veteran, someone needs to just tell him, you're being an idiot.
Yeah. No, you're right. What you said is absolutely true. And the other thing he has to address, too, is, you know, because LeBron also, he kind of threw LeBron under the bus when he talked about, boy, Kevin Durant, I've never played with a guy who's made shots like this before. And LeBron was like, well, excuse me, you play with me. And by the way, I had to put up with you. We never aligned. Remember that whole thing where LeBron was like, well, I could never get through to him. We could never align in our time in Cleveland. And by the way, they did align for one championship. And here's the bottom line. On Kyrie, he can say what he wants, calls himself an artist. He left LeBron James. He's a guy who forced his way out of Cleveland to get away from LeBron James. And since then, his career has been in basically the toilet. When you count the Boston years, right? He was awful as the number one guy in Boston. And then he goes to the Nets last year. And of course, he gets hurt because that's what he does. He better hope that Kevin Durant plays the way he started to show last night. And I thought Kevin Durant was tremendous because he needs Kevin Durant because Kyrie Irving's got to resurrect his career and he's got to start riding a few of those Kevin Durant coattails.
Listen, I watch the game like you do. I watch all the games. I watch every game. I watch two games tonight. I'm watching a game right now. So my thing is,
I'm watching Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm watching Phoenix, and I love that. I love that team with Chris Paul and Booker on it. And let me just tell you, but going back to last night, I knew it was going to be good when I saw that first play on the wing when Durant got the defender up in his shin, and then he drove baseline and threw it down at 6'10 and a half and just went flying through the air and laid it down. And then he did whatever he wanted in that first half. He had like 11, and I think Kyrie had 15 or something in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up going 18 and 15. Oh. I thought his second half was ugly. But let me ask you this. What do you think it is? I'm not worried about Durant. My guy will drop 27 to 40 a night every night. But what do you think of a guy like when – like what's happened to him, Irving? Like that, not LeBron, not Cleveland, not Boston. Like just now, what is with this guy talking about all this stuff? This like he's Malcolm X or something, dropping all this stuff about every. I'm better than everybody. You're all a bunch of pawns. I don't listen to pawns. Yeah. I don't talk to pawns. Like what is wrong with him that he thinks like. Does anyone really give a rat's ass to begin with what some NBA player thinks?
No.
I mean, honestly, like if you're going to treat people like that, well, then I'm going to start treating you how you treat us. And we'll see which guy's better at it. Because I can be nasty.
Definitely
if he wants it, we'll give it to him.
He's got a massive ego. We know that. Not the first guy with a superstar, but really a guy who – how many guys call themselves artists? How many guys – have to let, the thing that drives you nuts is he just loves to lecture people. He's very condescending. He's a difficult guy to root for, almost impossible. That could be a very unlikable team. It's going to be a handful at time for Steve Nash to deal with both guys with massive egos. You know, when he talked today about making up and he's all good with Steve Nash, okay, let's see. The proof of the pudding is going to be there are going to be times this year where Steve Nash is going to call something, do something X's and O's wise, that Kyrie Irving's not going to like. Let's see if he swallows his pride and actually carries out the play that might not be designed for him. I want to see that. But Kyrie Irving has always been, in terms of, and even when he was on Cleveland, when he first came in, he always thought so highly of himself, and he always carried himself like he was the you-know-what. And it's just gotten to the point now where it's the only thing he's not doing is referring himself to Kyrie Irving, which I'm sure he'll do shortly. But he drives you up the wall at points, and he's very – very hard to root for. Now, the Net fan, they've had no success basically for a long time. They, since Jason Kidd, they're going to root hard for him because they're just still pinching themselves that these two guys decided to come play for him, which is still one of the great mysteries in terms of free agency that we've ever seen, Scott. But the key is obviously Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is a guy who, if he plays the way he can, he's going to automatically vault to the top of the list. He's the greatest Nets player ever. He'll be the greatest Nets player ever. Now, I don't know if he'll take him to the promised land, but he's one of the top offensive players we've ever seen, top 10 easily. He can get his shot anytime. And for Kyrie, sometimes Kyrie can accept his role as the number two guy, and sometimes he can't. That's going to be interesting. Sometimes I call Steve Nash, poor Steve Nash, because he's going to have to work with these two guys, and it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. We know that.
When you saw, like, when you see Dinwiddie, Harris, Allen, LeVert,
that's a good cast.
And then Luwawu, Cabarro, what do you think of, like, what those two prima donnas are going to rub off on the rest of those guys? Like, do you think it's going to turn those guys into maniacs? Like, because I think Durant, he does his job. He doesn't like the media, but he'll still do an interview. He'll still do what's required of him.
Yeah.
I think the other one is impossible. Like, he's blaming the media for all the problems in the world, blaming the media for the racial problems in the world, blaming the media for what? The vaccines, blaming us for the COVID, blaming us for the political upheaval in the country, but blame the media for everything. You're such a loser to blame the media. Did you find him difficult? Like, hold on one second, Mitch. How much time, Mafia, do I got?
About a minute.
And then we'll come back and talk more about it. How much in your career of covering the league every night was he ever approachable? Could you ever approach him and talk to him, or was it impossible?
Hey, I wasn't impossible, but he was, you know, just the way he carried himself. I talked to Michael Jordan. Sometimes you had an easier time talking to guys like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Barkley and people who are just way beyond what Kyrie Irving could even imagine himself to be. The amazing thing is, where he wasn't talking to the media, here's a league where they want you to talk to the media. It's basically required. And LeBron James talks to the media. And the great Sphinx Kawhi Leonard even talks to the media.
Right.
So what has Kyrie Irving done where he doesn't have to talk to the media? You know?
I guess he hit one big shot.
Yeah, that's right. He hit the one big shot. And we know, you know, he just is a guy who he just always has to show you that he's smarter than you. He believes he's smarter than everybody else. And he's going to lecture you on the state of the world as he sees it. When we basically don't want to hear. We want to talk basketball. We don't want to talk basketball. We want to talk about this other stuff a lot of the time.
All right, hold on, Mitch. We'll come right back with Mitch Lawrence and talk about the rest of the league on a bench.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, Pharrell on the bench, we're talking to Mitch Lawrence. By the way, Baker Mayfield got picked on the Browns had the ball deep in their own end. He threw a pass 18 yards, picked. They took it to the one. They scored again. 34-20 Browns getting their ass beat by the Ravens. And Mayfield's costing them the game now. They're down again 14. They're not winning that game. They just keep getting down 14. It's the second time. They've been down 14 in this half. They're in big trouble. And I'm watching the Jazz up 74-60 on the Suns right now in Salt Lake Shakers. So I was watching Zion tonight with that filthy double-double that he had. They beat up on the Heat in Miami in a preseason game. I was watching the game. I'm sitting there watching him, and the guy was incredible. 8 of 13 from the floor. He was 26 and 11 with two dimes. He really does do everything well, but it's amazing to me how enormous he is, Mitch. Oh, my God. I mean, like, keep this kid out of the kitchen because in 5 years he could weigh 350. I mean, he looks fat to me, flat out.
Hey, well, I guess it's just going to be one of these guys is just going to look like that because we've all been screaming about ever since he left Duke, he's got to lose weight. He's got to get in shape. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe that's the way he's going to be, but – I'll tell you what, the way he plays on the court. Now, defensively, Stan Van Gundy is going to, you know, put the screws to him and everybody else there and hold people accountable for the other end of the court because under Alvin Gentry, they played no defense. So that's what Zion has to do. I like the moves they made. I thought Stan was a good hire. And I'm telling you what, bringing in big Steven Adams, you talk about a guy who's, you know, he makes Zion look small. Steven Adams, that's going to help that team. Can they make the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, it's going to still be a struggle. Still be a struggle out west. I'm not sure I'm picking them to make the playoffs, though. But Zion should have He needs to have a monster year after last year. He needs to stop with the minutes restrictions, roll him out there for big starters minutes, 36, 37 minutes, and see what we got here.
Are you seeing the same thing in Mitchell, that he added a bunch of weight in his keister? The guy looks like, honestly, like, I know he's got that fat new deal. What do you celebrate by eating a Pizza Hut? I mean, honestly, he looks he looks like he's gained in his lower half.
Yeah.
Like, he's still got mad game. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And the other guy that looks the same to me, that gained a bunch of weight in the offseason for me anyway, is Doncic. My God, he looks like he's pushing 260, 270. I mean, honestly, take a look at him.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Well, the one thing, you know, I was looking at that Phoenix game earlier, and I just sent out a tweet. I'm no longer, for the first time in the longest time, I'm not sitting there asking, like, what the hell's wrong with the Suns, and when are they going to get a clue and get their act together? Because that's what Chris Paul can do for your team. I mean, when Chris Paul's on the court and he's barking orders and he's basically running the show, that's exactly what they brought him in for. Ayton's going to be better because of him. Devin Booker's going to be better because of him. You know, Donovan Mitchell and Utah, they're still going to be a good team, but I mean, they just don't, you know, he and Gobert and their guys, they're just not going to beat teams like L.A. I don't think either L.A. team, Clippers or them, I don't even know if they can take Denver. I think Denver's a notch above them. But Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he got that big. Everybody's getting paid really well. The league lost a ton. It's amazing, isn't it? Scott, the league lost a ton of money last year, and everybody's maxing out. Even De'Aaron Fox, he hasn't even got a sniff of the playoffs. I mean, you know, with Sacramento. He got himself a max deal. Okay, good for the players. It's great. How about our guy Paul George, though? After the fiasco he pulled, that Game 7 nonsense and what happened against Denver, and he maxed out. He's averaging $48 million over the next 5 years, making more than LeBron. So I know everybody's talking about the ratings are down and the money's, you know, they're hemorrhaging money because of China and Daryl Morey. Somehow, some way, all these guys are still getting paid. And like you said, they're all eating a lot of burgers, getting fat.
Yeah, I don't know about – obviously, they lost a ton of money, but they had so much G-damn money that they didn't know what to do with it because of these deals they're given. You cannot tell me for 1 minute – I will never – no one I know thinks that Paul George is worth that money. He's trash in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, he showed you last year, in the bubble, out the bubble, he just struggles. And you know what? I mean, that shot that hit the side of the backboard against Denver in that closeout game, that was embarrassing. And then he's, you know, laying it at Doc Rivers. And, you know, meanwhile, you heard the stories that came out after that his teammates were, like, rolling their eyes when he was talking. And he was sending out a lot of just – he says a lot of crazy stuff in the playoffs. He's talking about how when they were up 3-1 and then all of a sudden it was 3-3 against Denver, heading into that big game, he's talking about we're still in the driver's seat. He just says a lot of really lame things, a lot of stupid stuff. But he caught the brunt of it, if you noticed. And really, the guy I think was the biggest one to blame was Kawhi Leonard. We thought that Kawhi Leonard would never let that happen to the Clippers, right? In a big game, Kawhi Leonard would get them through. He was brought in to be the guy who would prevent another big collapse, and he couldn't do that. So to me, it's really more on Kawhi Leonard because he had been a better playoff performer for years than Paul George. And Paul George, I mean, why are people expecting a lot out of Paul George? You know what? You don't really get a lot of bang for your buck with Paul George. We've seen it in Indiana, we saw it in Oklahoma City, and we've seen it with the Clippers.
So explain to me how in their right mind they had to be drunk to get rid of Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers, to let him go down the hall to the Lakers locker room. It's already started
big
up.
Loss.
Beverly and him were chirping in that game Sunday.
Yeah.
But I love that guy's physicality. He's a nasty player in the blocks. How stupid were they to let him go? And honestly, like, because all they have is George and Kawhi. I'm not – Beverly sucks. He talks a lot of trash for – he's got no game.
I'll tell you what. The Harrell thing, that's definitely a blow for them. There's no doubt because until he was garbage in the bubble, you know – he had himself a big-time year, right? Sixth man and all that stuff.
Right.
Now, they got Ibaka, and Ibaka still has some good – he's had some good games in him, and they'll be fine. Where I think they really messed up was letting Rondo go to Atlanta and not getting Rondo in there to help run their offense. They need that in the worst way. They brought back Reggie Jackson. You got to be kidding me. I mean, everybody knew that the, one of their big problems was they needed somebody to leader on the court to get them into their offense, to run the show from the point guard position. And Rondo decides to go play in Atlanta. He left Los Angeles. They could have paid Rondo and gotten him in there. I mean, to me, that was a bigger, even more problematic because still haven't addressed that situation. So I still like, look, you have to like them in terms of Kawhi and even Paul George is his number two guy. We're not thrilled about what he does in the playoffs, but regular season wise, they should be fine. But they got more pressure on them, I think, than anybody else this season because of their collapse in the bubble and how they just became like the Clippers of old, the Clippers that always blow those 3-1 leads. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Do you think, they suck. That's what that is. At the end of the day, they never do anything. That's the reality.
Well, it's the Lakers and everybody else. I mean, we know that. The Lakers, they're so clearly better than everybody else. The big question is, who's number two? That's the big question.
So let me ask you, do you think, because I want to know, if Rondo, Gallinari, they go to, and one other guy, didn't Bogdanovich go there? Do you think that they'll, in Atlanta, do you think that they'll still suck even with those star players?
They better not, because it's going to cost Lloyd Pierce his job. But they made some good additions, you know, like you said, Gallinari, Rondo. They got the Bogdanovich guy out of Sacramento. Sacramento made a big mistake not matching that offer. They don't have enough talent where they can just let guys go without getting compensated. And they got Chris Dunn, who's a good defensive guard, who's going to help them at that end. You know, all to help Trae Young, and hopefully Trae Young's going to sign there long-term. That's what they want. They're built around him. But I don't know if that means that they're going to be a playoff team, even in the Eastern Conference. It remains to be seen. We don't know how Lloyd Pierce is going to do with all these guys as the coach. So I don't, you know, I'm not, you know, Atlanta's supposed to take the big jump. We've seen in the past that teams are supposed to take the big jump don't do that. So we'll see how it all comes together. We'll see if Trae Young wants to pass the ball to these guys, if he wants to give up a shot and all that stuff. But, yeah, Gallinari's a good addition. You know, on paper anyway. It looks good on paper.
They got a bunch of players. Yeah, Collins.
Yeah, they got Capella. They got John Collins. We'll see if they deal John Collins or not. On paper, they got a lot of people. You know, they got some good wings, Cam Reddish, Hunter. But we just don't know how it's all going to come together. But they needed some veterans. They needed veterans who've been, you know, through some playoffs wars, and that's what they got.
So what's going to happen? Why hasn't Giannis signed that deal for $200-some million? It's like $230, whatever it is. It's outrageous the amount of money he could sign for. He obviously doesn't want to stay there.
Well, we haven't heard. I mean, the word. I don't know what the word is. The word is he hasn't signed. Has he agreed? They haven't announced it. Who knows? I don't know why you would not do it by this point unless you want to keep your options open. If that means you're keeping your options open, that means you could be leaving. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Miami, teams like that, they're not messing around with their cap for this summer because they know they still have a chance to get him. So I don't know what's going to happen. He's got that window that's open till what? Another December 21st, another week where he can sign. Who knows? Maybe he'll stay. I mean, look. Hey, listen, were you blown away by any of their moves? I wasn't. The fact that they lost Bogdanovich, I mean, to me, was that going to put him over the top? Jrue Holiday's a nice player. He's not exactly a number two option, I don't think. What has he done in the past that makes you say, yeah, he's definitely a number two option? He's a guy.
Nothing.
So, you know what? It's like maybe he can do better elsewhere, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
So what's going to happen with Harden?
Oh, he's getting traded to Philly. I still think that's going to happen. I think when push comes to shove, Daryl Morey is going to unload what he needs to, including Ben, starting with Ben Simmons. James Harden doesn't want to be there. We all know that Daryl Morey thinks that of the world of James Harden. There's nobody in his mind better than James Harden. He actually said he's a better scorer at one point, right, than Michael Jordan, all that nonsense. But that's what he thinks about him. And I think that they feel like, you know what, Embiid and Simmons, that thing's run its course. Those guys might not necessarily like each other. We don't know if Harden's going to like Embiid, but we know one thing. James Harden can fill a role they need, and that is they don't have a guy who can get you a basket at the end of a shot clock. And that's, you know, for all of his playoff failings, and we know that about James Harden, regular season-wise and even sometimes in the playoffs, he can still produce. And so that's what they need. And right now they don't have the guy. They've never replaced Jimmy Butler. The role Jimmy Butler had. It wasn't Tobias Harris. It wasn't Ben Simmons. It wasn't Joel Embiid. And so that's what they need. And I still think they're going to end up with James Harden. And you know what? I applaud him for that, because James Harden has run his course in Houston. He doesn't want to be there, and Philadelphia would be an upgrade for him, I think, even with Ben Simmons being a younger player. He does a lot more offensively than Ben Simmons ever dreams of.
Ben Simmons has no offensive game besides driving to the 10 and lob dunking and finishing.
He needs a gym game. He needs to run the floor all the time. You know what happens in the playoffs? It doesn't happen.
Right.
So I think they would make – now, how that works with John Wall, don't ask me. Don't ask me how that works. Just remember that Daryl Morey worked with Raphael Stone for years in Houston, the GM, obviously being there. And I think that there's enough stuff where we know that Daryl Morey is the guy who always goes after these big stars, and he's going after James Harden. And I'd be surprised if he didn't get him.
Yeah, and I think Wall and Cousins are probably like, whatever, dude, we don't need you to, because those guys make so much cash and they're so best friends and all the rest that they'll be fine with or without him. I think Simmons might play well with those guys. I got to run, Mitch. Great stuff, as always. I love you on NBA Radio. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. If I don't talk to you, we'll catch you in the new year. All the best to you and your family. Be cool. Enjoy NBA Rack. Let's keep everybody healthy.
Thanks, man. Back at you. Thanks, Scotty. Take care.
All right, my man, Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio on a bench. So Doncic had 27 tonight, and he was 3 of 8 from downtown, 9 of 20. From the floor overall, 8 boards, 4 dimes. The guy in 29 minutes just produces big time every night, right? Like, you know the deal, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Mafia, if you're watching these games or whatever at all, these preseason games so far, but like, I'm not even wrong about any of them. Like, he looks like he gained 10 pounds in his ass. And so does Mitchell. Mitchell looks like he gained 15 in his ass. And then, like, and Zion is, he looks like he's literally, when I was watching him tonight, I was watching him with my son, and I was like, bro, he's going to be 350 in 5 years. I mean, he's already 300 pounds. There's no way that guy's not 300 pounds. When he came in the league, he was 285. You can't even tell me, if you look at him and watch him play, that he doesn't weigh 300 pounds. Now, look, I don't question any of their games, right? This isn't about their game. This is about, like, their bodies, right? And I understand all this stuff about, you know, like, have you seen what Embiid's doing? He hired his own nutritionist. He's got, like, someone cooking it. Like, he hired a chef, and they're, you know, cooking him every meal, everything, all day long. His breakfast, lunch, dinner, his snacks, everything is done right to try to put the right things in his body, right? For, you know, to be great, to be, you know, at his ultimate best. And I'm, you know, seeing that from him. And then I'm looking at these young kids who have barely been in the league 5 minutes, and they all look like they're getting fat. And it's just, it's glowingly obvious to me that they've gained weight. But I don't care if they've gained weight if you score those kind of numbers every single night of the week.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.